Surf and Dead, Haunted Houses, and Candy Rings. It's Halloween Memories Part 2, The Revenge of the Halloween Memories. Next on Tom and Hank, talk about the 80s. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Hank. We should talk spooky the whole time.
When someone says talk spooky, everyone goes spooky. But I don't understand. Like, I don't know if that would have freaked me out. Like, it's much more spooky if you're like,
well, hey, imagine if you go to the horror movie and you see the trailer for the next horror movie that's coming out, and they're like, from Scary Town Pictures comes a horror film. No, it's always the guy going, bah, bah, bah.
I don't even, is there even narration in trailers anymore? There's like text, but I don't think there's like in a world. Like that doesn't really exist too much in trailers anymore that I.
There's not enough time. They have, you know, only 10 minutes to put the whole entire trailer together and show you the whole entire film condensed down into scenes that you're not even going to see in the film to confuse you.
You know, I saw a
starting
trailer.
Starting off hot. Wow.
I saw a trailer yesterday where basically, like, you can, you know, if you've seen 10 movies in your life, you know when you see the trailer, like, oh, well, oh, obviously that's the end that I'm seeing. Like, obviously, like, something's in trouble. You see a big reunion at the end and they're all wet. Obviously, that's the end.
They always blow it, the trailers. And now they have like 8 trailers. They're like, this is the most recent trailer of all time. It is the most cutting edge trailer you have ever fucking seen.
You are coming in hot.
I just watched another trailer for the new Fantastic Beasts, and I was like, well, that makes like 10. It's not, it's like 3. But I was still like, that's too many.
But that's a considerable amount of the movie.
Yeah.
That's already out.
Yeah, but we know how they do trailers now. They don't actually, like, half those scenes aren't in the film.
Well, yeah, because when I saw a movie yesterday, I think there were, like, 6 or 7 trailers. And that used to be my favorite part, was watching the trailers. So yeah. It was always my favorite part. I would like it sometimes even more than the movie, because it was just like, what's coming out? But first off, well, we'll talk about this coming into the show, but I saw the new Halloween.
Ooh,
and so the trailers that the trailers that are paired for that are, you know, a little on the more bracing side.
Yeah.
And, you know, there weren't any like new comedies that I saw yesterday. They were all pretty hefty. Well, remember that one we saw a very long time ago, I think when we saw Star Wars in like December or January. It was about like, it's a series of YA novels, young adult novels, and
Mortal Engines?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I saw a longer trailer for that.
Oh.
And that just looks really good.
See, I saw a second trailer for that and I was like, it doesn't look as good to me now.
Well, because that first sneak trailer was, but it's
because there's no dialogue.
So that basically is about London is like a moving city. Every city is moving, right? Or little village, and it's all things that are on these big engines. And so London, the people that are the people who run it, and it's, you know, dystopian or whatever, but it looks great.
Yeah, it looks awesome. I'm excited about it.
You weren't. You're not. That's a lie. I can see it in your eyes.
I haven't liked a new film for like, I mean, let's face it, movies suck.
Like, well, you liked that one last year? That one.
That's what I mean. Shape of Water.
Yeah,
you know,
you like that.
That was like the only movie I saw where I was like, oh, that's an actual movie. Whereas every other thing, it's like ultra editing and ultra, you know, choppy sound effects. And it's like everything just seems like I'm not into any of the last bunches of Star Wars. I'm like, they're just the story.
They're just
like,
too big.
And And you know what? Those dudes, they ruined Star Wars with that last one. And then I saw Solo and I was just like, what is this? It's just garbage, you know? And I'm like, I go in and I'm like, I'm a Star Wars fan. I like X-Wings and TIE Fighters and the Force. And like, I have since I was fucking 7 years old. You know, like, are you? And then, and I go to these movies and I'm like, I like it because it has the X-Wings and the TIE Fighters. And but then when I go home and I dissect it and I think about it, I'm like, that movie was fucking awful.
Well, and you are, you really dissect movies.
I do. Nothing else. I dissect all kinds of things. Creatures.
Jesus.
I have a couple.
Fantastic beasts.
I have like a dude down in my basement right now I've been cutting into for days. It's a Halloween episode. It's a
Halloween episode. I'm just shocked. I know you don't have a basement, but I'm afraid to go down.
Whose basement is that? Well, if I don't have one and you don't have one,
whose basement where did it come is it? From?
Scary.
Basement.
But yeah, so I'm not really into like new movies, you know? I think they slap them together and there's some good parts. You know, it's like talking about the albums the other day. It's like when we were young, we didn't listen all the way through the album. Well, now I do. I listen all the way through the album. But I want that movie to be able to watch the movie all the way through and go, I like the whole movie. And it just hasn't happened for a long time.
Well,
I can see by your yawn that my story is really shaking you.
That's between you and in Hollywood, the Hollywood establishment. I'll leave you to it.
Liberals. the Hollywood agenda. The caravan.
A lot of fucking good they're doing us.
The caravan of Hollywood is breaking through the borders.
I remember when I was in my 20s, it was like the early 90s, and for some reason I went past C-SPAN, and it was, this is the stupidest story. I'm going to tell it. It was Barbara Streisand, and she was at some hoity-toity university. Your Harvards, your Yales, your Princetons, your Mr. Don School of Beauty.
your ramblings. I'm sorry. I just can't.
Oh my God, you snorted. Anyway, it was Barbara Streisand at some university. And the title of her speech on C-SPAN said, Barbara Streisand, the artist as citizen. And I was like, oh, wow. This is going to be a bunch of BS.
That's some dry shit, man.
But she was giving this speech about how, you know, it was up to the artist, liberal Hollywood, to like make a difference. And I'm like, come on, like we fucking need you guys.
Can I just say this is a horrifying episode? In every way, this is horrifying.
We need celebrities like your George Clooney's, your Barbara Streisand's. Your Jennifer Lopez's, your Lopez eye.
Speaking of rambling and inconsistencies, I saw a Disneyland commercial from the 80s featuring everyone but Bill Cosby advertising Disneyland to come to Disneyland this winter. It was like the Huxtables, but without the dad. And I was like, that's weird. It's all of them. The kid and like, I don't remember any of their names
but
second.
From but it's from the 80s.
It's from the 80s.
So it wasn't so like it's someone. Like,
it's the mom and like, you know, and like the son and like a couple.
Theo.
Theo, thank you.
Claire, the wife.
And
the
why am I not, attorney. Why am I not remembering their names?
Sandra.
And then.
Denise and Vanessa. And Rudy.
Vanessa was, so Rudy was the little one. So Rudy was in it. Theo. Yeah, it was weird. It was like not quite everyone. And I was like, well, that doesn't, Like, what did he, like, dump you guys?
I mean,
like,
it adds up now. It's great because now they can show it. Well, I mean, just because he's not in it.
Yeah. Anyway, it was just interesting.
So, let's go to happier news.
Let's.
Do you have any?
Let me check my notes.
Yeah, do you have any?
Nope, bad. Hold on. Here's some bad. Bad. Never mind. Here we go.
I've got a bunch of bad shit, too. I don't want to talk about it.
Here we go. Well, I hit the lamp for the first time, so that'll excite a lot of people out there.
Drink.
That's what people are probably like, is that really what's going on over there tonight? You know, I do have something. Our friend Sean got married this weekend. Yes. I've been talking about him. He's a regular listener and an old friend, and our only listener, which is an interesting...
Hey, buddy.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to diss the other guy out there. it was a lovely, lovely wedding. It took place at the Presidio Officers Club in San Francisco. And well, the reception did. The actual ceremony took place in the historic chapel there. And you know, there's a ton of history, and you know, going all the way back to the Civil War, probably at least, if not longer, and a lot of World War II history there. And both of them are interested in World War I and World War II. And he and his now wife Laura. And so, congratulations! It was awesome. It was such a beautiful. Everyone was dressed up. It kind of had a 30s, 40s kind of theme to it. And I was the DJ, obviously, and played them a great set of cool old swing and old dance bands and cool stuff. And it was just awesome. It was just a great night. Everyone had so much fun, did a little dancing, put a long play record on and danced with a couple friends and the bride's mother. And so that was really fun.
That's fun.
Everyone helped pack up my gear when it was over, and it was just beautiful, and it was awesome, and thanks for having me, Sean. I appreciate it, and congratulations. That's my speech that I was going to do at the wedding. No, I'm just kidding.
But you wouldn't allow me to
do it. Yeah, hey, here I am, spinning some records for you guys. You know, hey, is everybody digging it? Can I get a what? Presidio Officers Club in the house.
You are a very interactive DJ. this is our part two, or as I like to say, part deux.
Speaking of part deux.
Oh, yeah.
I am still Meganless for a few more days.
The
novelty has worn off.
Well, it wore off before she took off last week.
It wore off when she texted me this morning and said she was at Paris Disneyland, and I was like... that's interesting. I'm at a bookstore that I work at right now. No, it was fun. It was great. I knew she was having so much fun with her mom and going on all the cool rides. She's like, it was great. It was like a little piece of home. So she had a lot of fun there.
Good.
Paris Disneyland. The revenge.
We like a good revenge.
Yeah.
Speaking of revenge.
So part deux.
Part deux. Yeah. We wanted to do that because we had so much more stuff to talk about last week, and it was like an hour and 15 minutes.
I actually just said that because I was done. That's not true. I have a lot to talk about.
No, I was going
to
say, what? No, I know you do.
That's how you know it's serious.
Well, so last Friday, Brendan and I, my boyfriend Brendan and I, we watched the original Halloween. Which was...
What year did that come out?
78. And he had never seen it. You know, there's been, subsequent reboots. There's been sequels to the original several times, obviously. And then there was the Rob Zombie reboots in, 2008, which were scary. And we watched it, and it's interesting because, you know, there's no gore whatsoever. There's a little tiny bit of blood.
Hmm.
But it was considered just this terrorizing film, and there was very little blood, and you really don't see, you know, it's more insinuation.
Uh-huh.
It's a shadow.
And a lot of, ooh.
And you're like, ooh, Michael Myers.
Michael Myers playing a theremin in the background. That is scary.
And that is like, how long did that take to set up, sir?
I built it out of circuits and metal. I don't know what he sounds like. Does he talk?
Well, he doesn't talk.
The whole time?
He hasn't spoken since the day that he killed his sister in 1963.
That's horrifying.
Yeah.
Now I'm scared.
You should be. So we watched that, and it was funny to like look at these shots. You know, there's kind of like shots that aren't done in movies, you know, like yeah. just things where she was in the class, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis, who stars as Laurie Strode. She was in a classroom, and it's just a very interesting shot, and she's lit so well from outside. So yesterday we saw the new Halloween, and it is about Laurie Strode now and her daughter and her granddaughter. And her granddaughter is in high school, and she's walking down the same streets that Jamie Lee Curtis did with two friends, just like Jamie Lee Curtis did.
She stayed in the town. Remarkable.
I don't want to give too much. I mean, it's a new...
Oh, yeah, don't... Sorry, spoiler
So, I mean,
alert.
Jamie Lee... This is just her daughter and her granddaughter
Darth
in this
Vader
town.
Darth Vader did it at the end.
Yes. Are in this town, not necessarily Laurie. But Michael is, you know, in his 60s now. And this new one is no fucking joke. It's still not as much... I mean, there's definitely gore, a lot of it, but not the amount that you would think in today's type of really, really, really gory stuff. And I think that has a lot to do with, like, many of the original people are part of it, and Jamie Lee Curtis was an executive producer on it. Mm. And her thing was, like, I will do this, and I will... go out there, I will start an Instagram account, I'll do all this stuff to make it a hit. But this is it. Like, we're ending what we began. And it was very good. I liked it a lot. But so there are shots of the granddaughter in school that are the exact same set and same cool. shot from the 1978.
Wow.
Of what her grandmother, you know. It's really neat.
Wow, that's cool.
It's neat, yeah. And the thing that bothered me the most, and this isn't giving anything away, but a device at the front of it was two podcasters who were doing like a serial-like podcast about his whole thing, the murder of his sister in 1963, and then coming back on, you know, 15 years later on that night and the whole Laurie Strode thing. And so it's just these two, and I, you know, they made them this way, but they're just utterly hateful. Like, you just don't like them right away. And they're British, and the man is like, we're here experiencing, we're standing next to Michael Myers. Like, and just really, they really have him lay it on thick, but it's pretty, like, intense.
More intense than the Nun?
I didn't see the Nun, but didn't
just
you?
Kidding.
Didn't you? Didn't really like the Nun?
I gave
did
it.
You?
I gave it a stark review.
But so it was interesting to see something.
I gave it a review that was worse than the acting, which was terrible.
I don't. And was it scary?
If you think it wasn't scary.
Okay, great. Great. If you think Bologna is scary.
Spoiler alert, it sucks.
Well, it was interesting to see something that I saw in like 1982, 4 years after it came out, on TV, on regular, like, you know, NBC during Halloween time. And something that I saw then when I was a little kid, and now, 40 years later, to see this new thing and this character still going. And it was actually pretty neat.
Yeah.
To see it again.
Yeah.
And it was a huge hit over last weekend.
Well, who would have known that they would just keep dragging it out?
Well, another thing of the... One of the main things that I was going to talk about last week, but then I just kind of lost interest in the research, was Halloween 3, Season of the Witch.
When did that come out? I'm trying to think. I remember I saw one specifically around the early 90s.
No, that's another one. So this was like 84.
Okay.
Season of the Witch came out. And because Halloween 2 is Jamie Lee Curtis and Michael Myers. Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, does not have Michael Myers in it at all. Mm. It's about an evil plot to kill all the children by having them all buy masks from this certain company. And then when they all watch TV at the end. Yeah. No, don't. Libel. When they all watch TV at a certain time, I think, then their brains turn to like worms and mush. Hmm. Or their whole faces.
What would they do if they took a movie and they called it like something else, not Halloween?
Okay.
But you took Michael Myers and you took Michael Myers and you had them fight each other.
Michael Myers, The Revenge of Michael Myers.
Excuse
Are you
me.
Pleased with yourself?
No.
This thing is off the
What's
fucking
rails.
What's
the name of the comedian that does the Scottish accent?
Is he Scottish?
No.
Oh. What, you mean Mike Myers?
That's what I'm talking about. What if you took Mike Myers and Michael Myers and put them together and made him fight in a movie? But he did that Scottish accent.
Like,
go from on,
Austin
say
Powers?
It. It's awesome. Yeah, baby. One doesn't talk and the other doesn't shut up. So it's like, what the. It'd be an interesting battle.
He just drives Michael Myers crazy. That's the...
He shags him to death. In his British Racing green Jaguar XKE.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. It's all about tangents tonight.
Yeah, good luck to everyone out there. I'm just going to wish you... This is a rough one.
People are like, are they even recording? Do they even know they're recording right now?
Did someone, dose us?
Maybe there was something in our candy. Remember that meme I sent you with the tank? And said, I found a tank in my pocky sticks. Make sure you check your candy really closely this year. So one thing that happened during this last week is I was very upset that I didn't really remember any of my Halloween costumes. So I got on the horn and I called my sister and I said, Sissy, what were your Halloween costumes? Do you remember any of your costumes? She's like, oh my God, I totally do. And I was like, do you remember any of mine? She's like, no. And I was like, okay, well, what are some of your costumes? Because remember, we couldn't remember any of our costumes, just a couple. You were Gene Simmons one year, yep. And I was like, I don't know, I was like a frog or something. And
yes.
I don't even think I was. But so Jill, my sister, who remembers different things, but miraculously was there at the same time I was, recalled my dad making her. Are you okay?
Yeah, I was Casper. I just came in.
Oh.
I was Casper from the Ben Cooper Company.
Your little white hood with little eyes cut out. That's cute. They told you were Casper. What do you want to be for Halloween? I want to be a ghost. Here's a ghost costume.
Oh,
wink,
not
wink.
Not from the South.
This is great. I kid. My dad made my sister, and I forgot about this, he made my sister a butterfly costume one time. And when she was describing it, I remembered it suddenly. And I was like, oh, my God.
And
so it was
like
coat hanger, like wings with like the stuff stretched over it, all painted really pretty. And so she was
like,
yeah, it was a butterfly. I don't know if it was pantyhose or if it was material, but it might have been pantyhose. But so my dad made that one. And I was like,
that's
so interesting because I remember our mom making costumes, but my dad did as well. Then she was Peter Pan one year. He was Robin Hood. He got a Robin Hood costume put together one time to go see the original Robin Hood showing at in the 80s at the Sash Mill Art House Theater in Santa Cruz. And so that's his favorite movie in the whole wide world, The Adventures of Robin Hood, starring Errol Flynn and
oh, wow.
Olivia de Havilland. I think it's like 1937, I think. Technicolor, just an amazing film, and it's just his favorite movie. And so my aunt was a big fan, and so my dad was very much into getting into costumes and going to see movies that were related. So we saw on opening night of Wrath of Khan, for example, we all got dressed up in Star Trek stuff and had Vulcan ears that my aunt made for
us. You did?
Yeah, and so stuff like that.
That's so cute.
But so anyway, one year he was Robin Hood. He had the big Robin Hood hat. And so he used the Robin Hood hat for my sister's Peter Pan costume. And she was Peter Pan. And I was like, oh my God, I totally remember so that. Cute. And it was cute because she had a little pixie cut then. She used to have really long, long hair, that, like down to her butt. And then she got it all cut. She had this cute little pixie cut. And then I was like, well, what else? Like, and she's like, well, that's all I remember from when we were like little. And I was like, well, what about when we were in like high school, like in the '80s in high school? She's like, oh, I was Gemma in the Holograms one year. I was like, whoa, that's totally cool. And she's like, yeah, I took one of the plastic costumes and I cut it all up and used the bits and pieces of the plastic costume on my real costume. So like maybe like the belts and stuff like that, I would imagine. And so I thought that was a really cool story. And I was like, well, what else? And she's like, I don't know. I can't think of any. Oh, yeah. Well, there was the one year that we were rich bitches from hell. And I was like, what? And she's like, we are rich bitches from hell. Nobody knew that. But every time they asked, we told them we are rich bitches from hell. And so they wore like their old like prom dresses.
Okay.
Her and her best friend, they wore their prom dresses. They had big candy rings on all their fingers. And they had, like, you know, fake money and, like, bad makeup and, like, cigarettes. And they were just, like, people would be like, what are you guys? They'd be like, we're rich bitches from hell. And, like, with their hands on their hip, like, shaking their head back and forth. So I thought that was really cute.
I bet she really enjoyed telling that story to you. I can see it.
She did. She did. But so I thought that was cool that she remembered some of her costumes. I don't know still why I don't know what I ever was, except for one year at Kmart in 1988 or 89, I dressed up as a demonic priest. And so I had, you know, like this priest kind of jacket on, and I wore like all black and like black boots, and I think I taped a little white piece to my collar. And I had a rosary with like dead roses, you know, tied to it with barbed wire, and painted my face all super scary and ghoulish, and slicked my hair back. And I went to Kmart dressed like that, which is just really weird. I had like an upside down crucifix. it was serious stuff.
So you went to work like that.
I went to work dressed up like that. And there's a photograph of me, which I think we will post. I think my mom dressed up as like a Mother Teresa kind of nun, and my dad was like, I don't know, my dad was something else, maybe like a Roman warrior or something like that. But I have the photograph, and I'll find it and we'll post it.
I need that, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so I worked in the garden shop at Kmart from like 1987 until like 1995 or 96. And I was working outside in the garden, and the doors are all open, and it's like a nice, beautiful fall, autumnal day in Scotts Valley. And
carry a theme.
This guy comes up to the register with a bag of potting soil, and it's a priest. It's a real priest. A real priest. And I just feel so stupid all of a sudden. And I'm like, oh, man.
But was he a priest? Because it was Halloween.
He was a priest.
Okay.
He was without a doubt a priest. Like, anyway, and so he's buying his potting soil, and he doesn't say anything, but I can tell by the look in his face that he's
less than enthused.
He's mildly amused at this. Like, he thinks, like, this is really dumb and really awkward, and this guy probably thinks he looks really scary, and he's just not scary at all. But I felt so stupid, and I'll never forget how dumb I felt. I was like, I'm sorry for disrespecting you. And then I was like, wait, you guys are the ones who turned all those fucking people into slaves and made them build the missions. I was like, you know what?
Here we go.
Am I the only one around here who gives a shit about the rules? Okay.
Once again, audience, drink. Whenever Tom has a beef against someone.
And then one year, also at Kmart, I was a U.S. Navy SEAL from Vietnam. So I had my face painted all camouflage, and I was wearing my Vietnam camouflage ERDL camouflage uniform and my jungle boots. And it's like a sweat rag tied around my head, and everyone's like, you're Rambo. And I'm like, I'm not Rambo. I am a SEAL. They're totally different. Rambo doesn't wear a shirt. I'm wearing original 1969 dated Ertl camo right now, not a rippling muscly chest and an M60 E3.
Just the That's rippling muscular chest. That's for my nerds out chest. There.
Hey! Y'all know? Sorry. I just stop right there. Cut that last part out.
So, I don't think I can. Sorry. So, I do also remember a few that I was when I was little. So, I was a little tiny train conductor, and I had on the little striped overalls.
Oh, cute. Or the,
what are they called? Bib overalls. Yeah. The little striped ones, like two different colors of denim, right, or something?
Uh-huh.
Right? And then the little hat, the little conductor hat that went with it.
I was
like the little guy from the conjunction, junction,
yeah, what's totally.
Your function? And so I was little, and so I bet I was adorable. And then I was Casper. I remember being Casper. And then one year I was I've heard tell and like seen the photos, and like fabrics in the 70s were very different from fabrics now.
Yeah.
And so it was like someone made me like a dog costume, like a little puppy costume and like ears, but it's just like the fabric looks like so flammable. You just thought of something, didn't you?
How did I forget the ultimate costume?
What is it?
I have to call my sister when this is done and exclaim my astonishment. But you just reminded me.
What is it?
My dad made me a panda costume. And I still have it.
You do?
I still own the costume. It's in my sister's cedar chest with the family heirlooms in it. And I have the ears that you tie around your neck, and I found it when I was moving from my sister's last year, and I took a picture with it on my head and sent it to my dad, and he thought it was hysterical. He couldn't believe I still had it. So I was a panda one year. They like made me this really cool panda costume, and it had little mittens that were black and white mittens, and I remember for years I wore that thing like way into like, you know, like I was probably like 12 or 13 when I stopped wearing it to bed, like as pajamas. And I remember I created an entire panda language behind it. And oh my God, like how did I forget the ultimate costume? Panda bear. I was a panda bear. It was my favorite animal.
So something from last week that has come up for me has been, the going trick-or-treating using a pillowcase?
Yeah.
Like I just was thinking, I kept thinking about it after you said it. 'Cause when I edited last mm-hmm. week's episode, I was like, oh my God, when you said it, because it just was like, whoosh, came right back to me.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about it all week, and it would just be, you'd get so much candy.
You'd get a ton of candy. Well, I mentioned it to my sister, and she also she was like, oh my God, I totally remember that. And she's like, in fact, you know, a few years ago, the kids, my niece and nephew, her children, she's like, they were using pillowcases and then they just got into like, you know, using other stuff. And she's like, but they were getting like extra candy because of the old school pillowcase idea. And I was like, oh my God, I remember when kids had the little pumpkins with the handle, you know?
Yeah, but those fill up.
They fill up and they're hard plastic.
But
and
a pillowcase never fills up.
Endless, endless. They're bottomless. So I think I mentioned it. I'm sure I mentioned it before in our candy episode when we talked about all the different types of candies that we would eat, and Halloween came up in that episode, but I think it's worthy of another mention. You know, my sister and I did not get to eat most of the candy that we got. You know, for us, it was dressing up was the fun part, trick-or-treating was the fun part, and the not fun part was coming home and dumping our pillowcases full of candy on the living room floor to have my parents go through it and go, you know, you guys can have these pieces and, you know, daddy and I are going to take the rest, you know, because you can't have, you know, sugar and we don't want you to have too much sugar. And my sister would be like, fuck.
But they'd eat it?
Oh, they'd fucking eat all that shit. Hell yeah. But one year they thought it would be hilarious. So they're like, you can have all the gum. You can have all the gum you want. And we're like, wow, really? And then, you know, they played a joke on us and they're like, yeah, but you have to eat it all at one time.
Oh, you have told me
this. And I have told you this, and so I'm not going to finish the story because...
I think, yeah, no,
you didn't like the chewing part, but
well, and you told it, I think you told it on the candy episode.
That's what I just said.
Yeah, 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 for sure you did.
I'm glad you're...
I just started listening right now.
And so we started with one piece, and then one, and then another, and another, and then we had like, you know, five packs of gum in our mouth, and we're like, chew, chew.
Horrible.
Chew.
Oh, you know.
It was, yeah, it was bad. It was really bad.
Oh, my temples hurt from hearing that.
I remember one of my favorites, and to this day, one of my favorites that no one else liked is the Smarties. The little, the little chalky ones. Like, and I remember people going, "No, I don't want those," and they'd like, you'd swap out.
I know, I like those.
Oh, you do? Okay, yeah.
Pack after pack after pack, you'd get because that was a cheap one. Still is.
It still is. But it's still one of my favorites.
I remember an old lady used to give out Necco wafers.
Oh, man, Necco wafers. Boy, I think I have some broken teeth from those.
I was like, that is an adult candy. That is not a child's candy. Well, that's... I loved going trick-or-treating because of the candy, obviously. Mm-hmm. And... But we were in the time of... I think this has also gone to the past now, too, but like in the 90s or early 2000s, it was like full-size candy bars and like people giving all this stuff out. But I remember getting the little tiny Reese's, you know, in the gold foil wrappers. Yeah. That was when I got these skulls. I think this is the last time that we'll record when the skulls will be around, maybe.
I think it will.
And it's where I found candy. It's probably things that I wouldn't have had before.
Uh-huh.
I remember getting a 100 grand, one of the little 100 grands, and I just fell in love with those. But so that was good. At Halloween. I remember that from Halloween.
Yeah. I remember one year I, obviously inspired by Disneyland and the Haunted Mansion, because I had the Disney, the Sounds of a Haunted House record. Came out a few years before the Haunted Mansion opened. They had a sound effects record that came out, and that was like a perennial favorite at our house. We listened to it all the time. And so I had this grand idea. I was like, why don't we make a haunted house in the garage? You know, we live, again, on a private road. Not a lot of people came. And I was like, it'd just be fun. Let's just do it. We'll just make a haunted house in the garage. We had this huge, giant two-car garage. And I remember bringing cinder blocks in from outside. We always had piles of cinder blocks. Why? I do not know.
Yeah, I was going to say why.
I don't know why that they were there, but we always had cinder blocks for some reason. And we built things with them, little forts and things like that. And so I built like a wall. And then I had built a table where I laid out a sheet and I put pillows underneath the sheet. And I had a big cardboard Frankenstein head cut out, and I put Frankenstein, his chin, under the part of the blanket, so it looked like Frankenstein was under the bed. And then we had you know, we had three or four black lights, and we had a strobe light.
That's so cool.
And I remember hanging, like, you know, draping things down across where you'd walk in through a hallway, and then of course you would have the Disneyland songs, Chilling Thrilling Sounds of a Haunted House, playing. And oh my God, it was so much fun, and no one in the neighborhood saw it. It was just for us, and my parents would let us keep it up for like a few days. You know, it was out by the laundry, by the washer and dryer. But that was a great memory, because we always had stuff like that to do and to build, and there was like a wood pile, and there was always, you know, tools and nails and stuff, and you could build stuff, and we always were building things. And so when I remembered about that haunted house today, I've been going through my Halloween records, and I found not my original copy, but my Thrilling Chilling Sounds of the Haunted House record. And I was listening to it, and I was like, oh, the haunted house in the garage. How cool was that? And so that was just a great little thing. And now I do it in my house in the little corner.
Basically, just in the right corner. There in the corner. It is terrifying.
But my sister does her entire... I mean, her whole entire entryway right now looks like a haunted castle. It's unbelievable.
She just loves it. It's unbelievable. Do you think Snidely Whiplash and Muttley had a Halloween special?
They probably did. What would it have been called?
The Snidely Whiplash and Muttley Halloween special? The Revenge of the Snidely Whiplash and Muttley Halloween special?
Volume 2?
Yes.
Did they? Or I don't know.
I don't know. It just popped in my head.
It's possible. Should we take a few minutes in silence to think about it?
Sure.
What about music? Did you listen to music? Any of the 80s songs that you recall that are now considered iconic, even if they didn't come out around Halloween?
They're now iconic. Yeah. And they're Halloween. It's like Halloween stalwarts. You know, there's not a lot of Halloween music. There probably is no Halloween music. Well, the Nightmare Before Christmas, I guess, is music. But a lot of songs that we listen to are, you know, played now as like spooky songs or, you know, Dead Man's Party.
It seems like back in the 50s and 60s, like songs were geared towards like Halloween.
They're like novelty.
Novelty songs geared towards Halloween, where now, like in the 80s, they were songs that were just kind of macabre in nature. And so now they're considered, so like, you know, Thriller, of course, it would be Thriller and, you know, the basics, Ray Parker Jr.,
Ghostbusters,
which isn't necessarily Halloween, but it's totally Halloween. Ghosts. It's ghosts and Rockwell.
I always feel like somebody's watching me. Harmony.
It was good.
It was good.
Which we talked about that video, I think, and that video was really bizarre.
We did. We talked about it in an episode. I don't know what, but yes.
It's you got to check it out. It's so strange. And then there was, you know, more like the new wave stuff. Ministry did Every Day is Halloween, which, you know, isn't necessarily about Halloween, but it's about
every day
dressing up and how you dress and how people treat you for how you dress and how you look. And so it's a cool song. And Bela Lugosi's Dead by Bauhaus.
Yes.
You know, I still have that. You know, one year I had it hanging up on the wall above my bed, and I have a picture disc of it, the big 12-inch disc of it, and it glows in the dark. And it's on one side, it's Bela Lugosi in his famous, you know, hand claw pose, zooming in on you. And I had it hanging just above the bed where, you know, your head touches the wall. And one night in the middle of the night, the tack that was holding it up came off and slid down the wall, and the record came down and hit me in the bridge of the nose, and I had no idea what it was. I had no idea.
Did
it
you just bleed?
Completely woke me up. Oh yeah, it didn't break my nose, but I had a scar for many, many years.
Wow.
And I remember just going, ah, fuck, like, oh my God, it was just a searing pain, and I couldn't see. It was totally dark in the room, and I looked over, and all I could see was Bela Lugosi going, like with his hands, and I was like, the record got me. But then Oingo Boingo had their two big hits. They had Dead Man's Party and also Weird Science, which when I listened to that again the other day, I was like, oh my God, I totally need that 45. I don't have that 45.
That's a great song.
It's a great song. And it's totally about, you know, mad professors and potions and laboratories and
laboratories.
But there's a ton, you know, Ramones did Pet Sematary. The Cramps did Surfin' Dead for that movie, Night of the Living Dead. Or Return of the Living Dead. And then there was tons more, and it was stuff I didn't even like ever think about. I was like, oh, I guess that is kind of a Halloween story, song.
So I want to talk about a film that came out in 1987, and it's not like a Halloween film, but it is a great film to watch right now, because this will come out on the 26th, so you have the weekend to watch movies. I highly recommend one of my favorite films of all of the 80s, and that is Near Dark.
Hmm.
And do you know Near Dark?
I don't think so.
So it came out in 1987. It is written and directed by Kathryn Bigelow, who would go on to win to be the first female director ever to win an Oscar for The Hurt Locker.
Mm-hmm.
She was also married to James Cameron at this time.
We've talked about her before.
We have, yeah.
She did the video for New Order also.
Yes, yes. And I mentioned Near Dark then, but please, this is the weekend to watch this film. If you're not going to parties or if you have some time, it is about a band of vampires. And they are in an old Winnebago, and it is led by Lance Henriksen and a James Cameron stalwart who's in every James Cameron movie, and that's Jeanette Goldstein.
Lance Henriksen is also, he's been in so many.
Well, and Jeanette Goldstein is...
Oh, that's...
Diaz.
Yeah. Vasquez.
Yeah. From Aliens. Mm-hmm. And so she's in every James Cameron movie. She's the Irish... she's a Jewish woman, and she's the Hispanic, you know, person, in the Hispanic soldier in Aliens. She's the Irish mother in Titanic. Also in Terminator 2, she is the aunt who takes care of Edward Furlong.
Oh.
And is in a bunch of the beginning of the movie.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
And so it's led by them, and they kind of have this band of, like, kids, but, you know, they're all, like, old vampires. And one is a child, and he's the oldest of them. And it is extremely gruesome, and they go through a little town in
Fargo, North Dakota.
Pretty much. Just a small town, like, guy, this kid who lives on a farm, and he sees them, you know, in their little town that he lives in, they're passing through, and one of the vampires is a young girl, and they start to like each other, and he starts to turn, she bites him, and he starts to turn, and the standout in this film, and please find it, is Bill Paxton, and he is terrifying.
Really?
And he is like the wild card. He's the one who like goes into a bar and it is just gruesome and awful to watch, and it's so good. It's a great, scary, scary movie. Near Dark, Catherine Bigelow, 1987.
Wow.
It's great.
I almost feel like I've seen it.
It's fun. Well, Adrian Pasdar is the young kid. He's the lead. It's really fantastic. It's a great, like, tiny little, you know, it's just like there are these, like, bad kind of white trash people mm-hmm. traveling in a Winnebago, but they happen to be vampires.
I need to see pictures of it. I feel like I've seen it now.
Oh, you know, I bet you probably have. It's great. I would please watch it. And then, okay, you started to tell me a story.
Well, I was going to say.
But you didn't finish it.
It's because it was just a random reference, but I don't know. I felt like it ties in. So there was a book when we were all little, all of us, every single one of us. And it was called The Teeny Tiny Woman. And it was a ghost story. And it was about a teeny tiny woman who lives in a teeny tiny house. And one day she's out for a walk near the graveyard and she finds a bone. And she's like, and this is when I remembered this, I was like, what a weird fucking story. She's like, I'm going to steal this bone and I'm going to make soup out of it. It's like, there's a graveyard, and it's like, okay, maybe it was written during the Depression or like the plague or something. I don't know. But like, so she steals the bone, she puts it in the cupboard so she can make soup out of it. And then she goes to bed in her teeny tiny bed. And the teeny tiny woman is in her teeny tiny house at her teeny tiny bed, and she's taking a nap, or she's going to sleep. And then she hears this, give me back my bone. And she's like, fuck you.
That's probably how the story goes. Fuck you.
But it reminded me for some reason because of something I was going to say to you that was going to be a sort of an outside reference. But it goes through, you know, the teeny tiny, it keeps coming up over and over again. And the thing keeps coming back. It's haunting her. It's like, give me back my bone. And you'd think she'd be like, well, shit, I stole this from the fucking graveyard. I might as well return it. I'm obviously not going to make fucking soup out of a human bone. But instead what she does is she freaks out at the end. Spoiler alert. And he says, give me back my bone. After tormenting her all night. And she finally says, take it. And then the book ends. Isn't that weird? Why is she in the graveyard getting the bone?
That's interesting.
Drink.
Everybody drink. Every time we talk about a teeny tiny bone, everyone needs to drink.
But so earlier you said something and I was going to say, take it! No. But I knew you wouldn't get the reference unless I explained the entire book.
But now when you do that
you'll know.
Later, I'll just chuckle.
Yeah.
I really will. So I had something to say. Oh, okay. So you said that you built a haunted house,
yeah,
right, in your yard. I went to one in my entire existence of being a child in the decade that we speak of, the 1980s.
The 1980s.
The 1980s. And I went, so I was like probably like 17, and fashion was really, you know, a thing, but not so much in tiny, teeny North Dakota. But I remember like pegging my jeans, mm-hmm, and having like red high tops, mm-hmm, and like a paisley shirt buttoned up, you know, all the way. And then I took one of my father's blazers. So it was like three sizes too big for me, but big shoulder pads in it. And then put a brooch on that. And then went to like this, like VA hall or something in a little tiny town in North Dakota to like drop something off to somebody. And downstairs in the basement was a haunted house.
Cool.
And I was very worried about my fashion because my hair was probably pretty high up too. And, but I went in. It was super scary because you were downstairs in this old basement of like a VA hall, and,
mm-hmm,
and people who you know have like masks on, and there was dry ice, like
cool.
A lot of it.
I always wanted some of that.
My mom worked at grocery stores.
Yeah, right.
So then a lot of stuff was packed in dry ice. I don't know if it still is. So she would bring it home, and I would put food coloring and water in different cups, cool, and then put it in and like play, you know, mad scientist or whatever.
Rad.
And I was probably like 8 or 9 playing with dry ice. I got this.
So stuff ain't poisonous, is it?
I can lick this, correct?
Because I already did.
I have a problem.
Don't lick the dry ice.
But I think we should do an episode on just blazers and brooches, or open a store called Blazers and Brooches.
I would be such a good finder for that. It would be full of the finest of '80s. Nobody wears '80s like that.
Both blazers and brooches. You could find some real humdingers, assuming.
Humdinger. Should have talked about that word in our...
In our strange words episode?
In our strange...
Good news. We haven't made one.
Humdinger. The dingle squad.
I got a humdinger of a dingle squad for you. Do you have anything else to say?
One awesome memory I have of Halloween is takes place on Canham Road, approximately 2 miles out of the city limits of Scotts Valley, California, which is approximately a quarter mile from our road.
Okay.
Canham Road had a lot of the kids that went to school, went to Vine Hill School and Soquel High there. And it was sort of a lonely mountain road, not a private road, but certainly not a through road. But there was a house at the end of the road. But you had to go pretty far. So okay. It might have been like maybe a mile or more into the mountains. And one year my parents said, you know what? And you could walk everywhere back then.
Yeah.
Everybody had flashlights and everything was fine. And there was no one lived on our street. My mom said, let's walk to Alfred Hitchcock's house. And I was like, what? And, you know, I had seen Psycho with my mom. And then I saw Psycho 2 later on at the drive-in with her. And so I was into Alfred Hitchcock. Like, I thought he was cool. My mom was super into him. I used to watch Alfred Hitchcock Presents when it came on, as you know, in syndication as reruns. And so I was into Alfred Hitchcock. And I was like, I can't believe he lived here. And turns out he did not live there at the time. He had moved maybe less than a decade earlier. He had moved away.
Really?
But he bought a house out there at the end of Canham Road, and he lived out there for several years. I remember walking, and we walked all the way to his house in the dark woods and up Canham Road, and we got to it, and there it was. this completely dark thing that you couldn't really see.
But still.
You shine your flashlight on it and be like, he used to live here. Whoa, that's totally cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, and this was like a random memory I had, and I wasn't even sure if it was real, if I had remembered that, or if my mom just told me it was his house. So, of course, I looked into it last year, and it's true. He did live there, and there's a whole story about why he moved. The house got robbed. Some expensive art pieces got stolen, and he decided it was not a safe place to live anymore, and he took his family out of there. But anyway, so yeah, went to Alfred Hitchcock's former house on Halloween night.
That's really fun. I would say also a couple of suggestions for this weekend, and I think I talked about a few weeks ago that we watched Dressed to Kill.
Okay.
Yeah, Dressed to Kill. With Angie Dickinson and Michael Caine. Maybe I didn't mention it, but that is on Amazon. Did you ever watch that movie?
No.
It was like bringing Angie Dickinson back, like 82. Mm. And it was going to be her big, you know, and it was interesting because she was in her 50s and she was like the lead along with Nancy Allen.
Huh.
She's the lead in the first part. Nancy Allen is the lead in the second part. But it is on Amazon right now. Amazon Prime, and it's worth a watch. It's a really fun, scary movie. And then also, I would say, like, grab yourself a little Killer Clowns from Outer Space this weekend.
Yeah, seriously, it's some bizarre stuff.
It's so bizarre, but it's perfect for Halloween. Mm-hmm. And it's really creepy with the weird clowns. And then if you like a little more hoity-toity horror, give American Werewolf in London from 1981.
Yeah.
David Naughton, Griffin Dunn. Like, watch that. So good.
I would add Vampire's Kiss to that list. Nicolas Cage.
Oh, yeah.
It's like 1986.
I think it is, yeah.
It's super bizarre. It's one of his few very, very good roles, I think. It stars Jennifer Beals. He's an exec that in the advertising business. And
he's so good.
He
in
starts
it.
To think that he's turning into a vampire, and you can't really tell throughout the whole film if he's actually turning into a vampire or.
No, he eats the spider, right? Like he chases a spider.
He eats like a spider and he starts living. He turns his couch upside down and he like lives underneath his couch. Yes. And like. It's very quirky and very, 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 very dark and very uncomfortable at times dark it is.
And also kind of wacky, too,
and
right?
And super wacky. I mean, if you... Yeah.
From 1988.
Yeah, okay, 88. So you think...
Oh,
I don't
that's
know.
A good one.
I always... People say, oh, his performance is so over the top in this. And I'm like, that's... I think that it's one of his more realistic portrayals of a wacky guy.
Well, I also think it's supposed to be over the top.
It is supposed to be over the top. But it's just got some great, great, really well-known one-liners and some incredibly dark and hilarious humor. And I highly recommend. Got to watch that again.
Well, on the funny side is Once Bitten.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
From 1985, and that's Jim Carrey and Lauren Hutton. Another one is Vamp with Grace Jones.
Yeah, I never saw that.
Where she, do you remember, they have her in the red wig, and she's painted with white paint and red paint, and she's like this performer, but she's also a vampire.
Ooh, that sounds horrific. I love her.
Yeah, so tons of fun movies to watch.
Great. Well, let's go watch them.
All right. Bye.
Everyone have a safe Halloween.
Please have a safe Halloween.
Make sure you check all your Pockies for Sherman tanks.
And bring your pillowcases full of candy to the emergency room to be x-rayed.
I'll be passing out scorpions to children.
Happy Halloween. Children. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Well, thank you for joining us on our Halloween Spooktacular. Here at Tom and Hank Industries, we appreciate your business and realize that you will not be returning. So thanks again, everyone, for listening. And fun feedback. We have some emails that we have to answer.
How about this? How about we post a picture of Did your mom find your Gene Simmons costume?
No.
Okay. Why don't I find my Halloween pictures? I will post the pictures this week, and you guys tell us what you wore back in the 80s.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. So.
And there's a couple emails that we'll answer next week. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. It's important. And we appreciate everyone. Have a really, really fun Halloween. We'll talk to you next week.
Stay red.
Stay awesome. Bye.